What better time to know what it is you believe than at the beginning of the new year? We have an affirmation of faith each time we gather at Daleville Christian Church, and this one from Ephesians, the second chapter. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. The reading for today is from Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, which also includes an affirmation of faith we have used here at Daleville Christian Church. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Welcome to the original Christmas celebration. The Epiphany, a Greek New Testament word meaning appearance, celebrating the appearance of Jesus to the wise men, the Magi. Jesus' birth was not celebrated separately for a couple of hundred years after the churches began celebrating the Epiphany, which traditionally has been January 6th. But when the churches decided by consensus to celebrate Jesus' birth, they continued to celebrate December 25th, giving us the 12 days of Christmas until Epiphany. In many countries today, this day is celebrated as Three Kings Day. Three Kings Day celebrated in most Western, traditionally Christian countries. It's also celebrated in Eastern Orthodox countries, but on a different date, as they use a different calendar. We join with Christians throughout the world today in our celebrations. The lights are on and up here in the sanctuary because, as we confess from John's Gospel book, the light has come and we have seen its glory. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells the people who hear him, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The light has come into the world, has enlightened us, as the prophet Isaiah proclaimed centuries ago, a light unto the Gentiles. We've sung it. In O Come, All Ye Faithful, verse 2, true God of true God, light from light, eternal. Or in O Little Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Silent night, holy night, Son of God loves pure light. Hark, the herald angels sing, born to give them second birth, risen with healing in his wings, light and life to all he brings. Hail the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Jesus our Lord would say in the Sermon on the Mount, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said it. Jesus specifically speaks of your good deeds. The New Testament speaks of Jesus' people's good deeds 9 different times from different authors. James, Hebrews, 1 Timothy. Different authors, same word, same Holy Spirit speaking that same word. Good deeds. Your good deeds as the followers of Jesus. Now, we have to understand something clearly. It isn't easy to understand it because preachers have not been good communicating this truth. I have to tell on my professional brothers and sisters, we haven't been good in communicating this truth through the history. What Jesus' followers have so often thought is that good deeds lead to heaven. That is not true. You really already know that. Good deeds do not lead to heaven. The truth is this: heaven leads to good deeds. Knowing that you are saved and secure through Jesus' cross, whose gift you accepted, that leads to heaven, and that leads us to do good deeds. You have become a citizen of a different kingdom, God's kingdom. As a citizen of a different kingdom, a kingdom not of this world, you no longer live and act as if you belong to this world. You and I live and act as citizens of God's kingdom, not any earthly kingdom. Let me put it this way. Heaven is not ahead of you. Heaven is behind you. You are already a citizen of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. So heaven is supporting you through this world until you are finally called to heaven. Heaven is supporting you through this world until you are finally called to heaven, which is your home, your kingdom. Heaven is not ahead of you. Heaven is behind you, helping you, supporting you, showing you all the good you can do, leading you in all the good you can do. The other day, I was recalling an unpleasant memory from one summer employment when I was in college. I don't remember how the topic came up or if I initiated that part of the discussion, but I remember that my coworkers were dismissing Jesus' teachings as unrealistic. The argument they made goes like this: if you want to get ahead in this world, you have to look out for yourself. Jesus' words are just nice words. Looking back, I would now agree with them by saying this. Yes, if you want to get ahead in this world, if you buy into the way of the world, if you want the world's system to work for you, you will have to do what the world requires. Dog eat. Dog. Another one of the geniuses of Charles Dickens' short story, A Christmas Carol, is that it shows us Ebenezer Scrooge, a very successful man of the world. It shows us Scrooge late in his life. Scrooge's business partner had already passed away 7 years prior as Dickens begins the story. In a memory that Ebenezer Scrooge is forced to recall, his fiancée calls off their engagement, and she says to Ebenezer Scrooge, "A golden idol has displaced me. A golden idol has displaced me in your affections. I've seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one until the master passion of gain engrosses you." And she asks, "Have I not?" Scrooge argues, it's because he has become so much wiser. And yet, late in life, a rich man and alone, Scrooge, although financially successful, is not portrayed as a happy man. Scrooge does not celebrate Christmas. He seems to hate Christmas. He hates having to pay his one employee a day's wages for no work on Christmas Day. He curses at his only nephew, saying, "What is Christmas but finding yourself a year older and not 1 hour richer? There's nothing merry in that." I confess that finding yourself a year older and Not an hour richer is a depressing thought. Is that because I was raised in the Midwest or because I was the son of a farmer? Charles Dickens, Ebenezer Scrooge, has won the struggle of the world and come out on top, but he's not happy or glad or joyful. He won't even celebrate a holiday, telling his nephew that there is no such thing as rich enough. Jesus' words can have no meaning to anyone for whom rich enough is a nonsensical phrase. Jesus only asks those who listen to Jesus, where is your treasure? Where are your riches? Are your treasures in heaven? They can be. And from the treasures of heaven comes every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, which we read in James chapter 1. This I have seen from you, Daleville Christian Church. Since last October, I have wanted to do this, but have not found the time. This idea I've wanted to do is based on the interests of the younger generation, the millennial generation. They want and like to know that their buying power and their purchases also serves a greater purpose, a community service. I know that you will find this amusing, but it makes my point. There's a donut shop in this town I visited. This donut shop keeps a running tally of all the baked goods that they had donated to local shelters and missions in their area. And there's a signboard in the shop telling you a running tally of all the donation they have made. The millennial generation really liked that. Imagine that, a guilt-free donut. Millennials like to know that their patronage, their purchases support a business that takes community seriously. I could also mention a coffee shop. There's a map board of the world on the wall. As a coffee buyer, you can see not only where the coffee comes from around the world, you will also see the projects for safe water that that coffee shop has sponsored throughout the world. We should do something similar here at Daleville Christian Church. Why? Because churches, especially small churches, are very good at forgetting what they have done and what has happened. It's one reason we do an annual report. So what would I include? Well, even I forget what we have done. I started keeping a file, throwing everything into the file that we as Daleville Christian Church have done in Jesus' name. It's a very blessed list. Here's a portion, just this last year. We just did a number of food baskets for families, helping at least 30 people, including children. We do snacks for kids. We, with that food, help children who in some cases qualify for breakfast at the school, but the parent or parents can't get them to the school on time for the breakfast. Sad? Yes. Tragic? Yes. But it isn't the child's fault. You, Daleville Christian Church, are there when the nurse hands that child a breakfast bar because the child has reported to the school nurse with a stomach ache, but the child has had no breakfast. God bless you, Daleville Christian Church. Your God be praised. You support our missionary who has spoken here, reaching college students and young adults, and she spoke of taking the gospel to the public schools there in the country where she serves. Our own women's fellowship gave luggage and backpacks for foster children when they are moved, usually having only plastic or paper bags to carry around. Every year we give to disaster relief through Week of Compassion, Church World Service. In 2015, some gifts went to tornado victims here in our state. For 3 years, our Vacation Bible School has given gifts for water projects around the world. Last year, our Vacation Bible School supported therapy dogs for veterans, in some cases preventing suicides. I don't know how many hundreds of hats and blankets our Crafts for Crisis Ministry has provided for the sick receiving treatment for kidney and cancer. We even on occasion receive thank you notes and gift checks for that ministry. God be praised. And this doesn't even touch on the people we help keep in their homes warm because a medical emergency kept them from working, kept them from keeping up on their utility bills or rent. rent that the township trustee usually does not cover. We spent the whole local outreach budget before mid-year last year helping such families. In previous years, we helped a township family following their house fire. And it made me think of another family in a fire in our neighboring town. We helped them, too. We helped a family with needed dental work bills. There was a new mother with no place to live. Every time I am involved, I basically say, "Don't thank me, thank Jesus." Could we be accused of boasting? Or would Daleville Christian Church be blowing its own horn? We would be guilty of those things if we claimed that we did them. But what do I keep reminding you? Jesus makes us do good things. Jesus' words, "Let others see what you do for God's glory." This would exclude any so-called closet Christianity. It reminds me of that old joke of the man who only attended his church's services at Easter and Christmas. And one Christmas, as the service ended, the pastor questioned the man about it, asking, "But Bob, aren't you in the Lord's army?" And Bob said, "Yes, but I'm in the Secret Service." What would we call it today? I'm in black ops, working in the shadows, or I'm a Navy SEAL, I work below the surface. Jesus' words say, working below the surface and working in the shadows isn't good evangelism. It's not a good witness to me. It's not a good testimony about me. It does not display the transformation that I, the Lord, am working in you. That would be hiding your light. But Jesus said, put your light on a lampstand to illuminate the whole house. Jesus said that if we abide in him, we will produce good fruit. And did not our Lord say that by your fruits you will know them? If you can't see the fruit, then is the tree fruitful or not? And what kind of fruit is it? I could talk a long time about asparagus. I like asparagus, and I have had an asparagus patch for years. Asparagus does a lot of its growth underground. If you plant new asparagus roots, you may have to wait a long time to find out if the plant is still alive. That is not what Jesus had in mind for you and me. I will grant you that Jesus is patient, but fruit will come if you remain in Jesus. We find this in several places in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It isn't to receive praise, it's for our Lord to receive praise. 1 Peter 2, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God." Don't thank me, thank Jesus. Praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing through us. Jesus told the crowd, "Let your light shine." And you know that it isn't really your light. It's the light that has come into the world for those of us who were living in darkness. The light of the world and the followers of Jesus are supposed to light up the room with Jesus' light. "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Today we remember and celebrate the wise men. The Magi were shown a light. They received that light from our God. They left their homeland, went to make offerings to this newborn king. They had seen his light in the sky. Then, as John said, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." The wise men could confess with John, the disciple of Jesus, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." I close with a reminder from 2 Timothy that we have been prepared for every good work. That the Common English Version says it this way, "And they will be able to do all kinds of good deeds, useful to the Master." Amen.